Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast that every week brings you stories of magic, mystery, and miracle. And this week's episode is no exception, because my guest, Araceli Kopiloff, has quite a few stories to share with you. Now, to be honest, after I interviewed her, I realized that she, in fact, and the spirit of her family and their legacy is actually part of the miracle too. Just knowing she's in the world and moving forward, as you'll hear, inspired me to no end. Please do pay attention, because there is quite the Easter egg at the end of the outro where she shares some more of the work she's doing, and yes, another miracle moment. So without further ado, here's my very next episode with Araceli Kopiloff.
I had to pull over because I was hyperventilating and I was having a panic attack. And out of nowhere, this lady came and she goes, you know, in Spanish, come here. And she was so little. And she put my head on her shoulder and she was caressing my head. And she was like, it's okay, you're going to be fine. And I was like, but, you know, and she's like, it's okay. This is where it takes a turn for the worse. Like, this is where people should get their tissues. Okay. So I arrive in October, November, December. Still, I met a lot of people. We weren't careless, but people there have very big houses like mine. It was like garden, pool house. So you could have people over and distance, wear masks, be outdoors. Met a lot of people. And then New Year's Eve, I called my dad to say, you know, Happy New Year. But it was so weird because he didn't answer. And I kept calling. Usually if somebody's 86, they're not going to answer. Like, even me, if I'm not at a party, I'm going to be in bed at 8. So why is somebody calling me, you know? And so, but I kept calling and I called his cell phone and he answered. And he said, you know, I've been on the floor for a couple of hours. And he's smart. He was sharp. He was Mensa smart. He really was. And his mind was just like talking to a 40-year-old. So it's not like my dad has Alzheimer's. So I thought, well, if he has his phone, why isn't he calling 911? So I didn't want to make him feel bad. So I said, Dad, I'm going to call 911. And he said, well, remember the door code is blah, 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 so they don't knock down the door. So I thought it was weird. They took him in. He was dehydrated. That's why he was confused. And he had COVID. And so he had retired a long time ago, but he went back to work because he was a psychiatrist and he worked with the most difficult veterans, the ones from Vietnam still that would be out like killing people if they weren't medicated. Yeah. And they adored him because they would sit and talk about history and generals and this and that. So to them, it was like coming to talk to a friend. Yeah. Not like an obligation. And he went back because he loved them so much. So he told me, don't come because you can't even come in the hospital. He said, just come when I get discharged so you can help me if I need to hire a nurse or get a special bed or whatever. Well, he died in 5 days and he was only on oxygen 20% of the day. And they were already looking at what rehab facility to send them to. So we were very close. My father was, we would talk and text and send pictures. It wasn't a dad where it was an obligation, like, oh, I better call him. It's Christmas. And he was a lifelong Republican who campaigned for Hillary and campaigned for Biden. And he would talk to his patients about politics and tell them not to vote for Trump. And I was like, Dad, you're going to get fired. He's like, I'm 86. What are they going to do? So and he was a feminist and he believed in the women's right to choose. And I was like, Dad, this is so weird because you're Seventh-day Adventist. He goes, if they have no problem putting down an adult, you know, death sentence. He goes, if a woman gets raped, if a woman is a drug addict, nobody's offering help for her baby. She's a prostitute. She's abused. They're saying, have the baby. And then what? He goes, if you show me one Republican who's adopting a severely deformed crack baby, then I'll listen. But so far, I haven't met any. So I was like, oh my God. He was very progressive. He did like the Women's March, everything. So he was amazing. So I was devastated. But he was, they couldn't bury him for a month because you know how it was back then in the thick of things. So I decided not to go for the funeral because it was very, I'm like, why? He wouldn't want me to go. You know, once things get better, I'll go pay my respects. Mm-hmm. So the day of his funeral, I get a call that my son died.
What?
My son, 30 years old. So I can't say it without, you know, so that's when I lost it. I had Bella and Cooper, the two dogs. Typically, if I left, I would have a binder of instructions. I really, really believe people now when they say, hey, I just remembered that I was raped when I was 6 years old or something before. You know, I respect it and believe them, but I thought maybe you're dreaming or something. But you could tell me right now, I will give you $10 million if you tell me what happened on those days. I don't know. All I know is I left my keys to a neighbor and I went to the airport. So I must have gotten my passport. I don't know if somebody took me. I don't know if I took a taxi. I don't know how I got a ticket. Maybe I got it at the airport and it's not a bus. You know, it's not like, hey, you leave in half an hour. I was crying. I had snot coming out of my mask. I got there with like no clothes, like what I was wearing. And my ex-husband, Claudio, like I said, we're like family. I adore him. And he was a great father. We had to deal with it. And then I don't know. My friends, one of my best friends, Tracy, was there and she helped me so much. I told Claudio, I said, I'm not coming back. Sell my stuff. Give it away. She was there holding down the fort. Tracy Lawrence, I'm sending a shout out because she's like a sister to me. And that's it. Because I was so angry at the United States at like, go to work. You know, it's a Chinese flu. It's a, you know, like even in the worst in 1920s in a, what do you call it? A plague. They would say, cover your mouth with a bandana. Yeah. I mean, come on. So I couldn't take it. So I came back and these dogs saved my life because I really would have ended it. You know, I just laid there and I was like, I don't know how, like they don't allow guns in Mexico, but I will probably kill myself. And so, but when you cry, the dogs come and they cry next to you. They scratch you, they lick you. And it made me get up and throw a ball and talk to them. And slowly, Mexico is so loving. One time I was riding my bike and I had to pull over because I was hyperventilating and I was having a panic attack. And out of nowhere, this lady came and she goes, you know, in Spanish, come here. And she was so little. And she put my head on her shoulder and she was caressing my head. And she was like, it's okay. You're going to be fine. I thought, you know, in the United States, nobody would touch me. Nobody would even stop. They would just be like, are you drunk? You know? And I was like, you know, she's like, it's okay. And it was so funny because one day there was a dedication of a wall. It's like these skulls made of clay for Day of the Dead. But each you buy one of those and the money goes for a good cause. And when I went to the lighting ceremony, because I got one for my dad and my son, she was sitting in the front row looking at me, smiling. And it was like 6 months later, you know. And magical things happen in Mexico. And if I was in the United States, and I consider myself American, so I'm not a hater. I love the United States. I love what it did at the time, but I don't know what would have happened to me.
It. That's a wrap on this episode. I'm so grateful to Araceli for coming on the show and sharing all of her stories. I really, really encourage you to check out everything in the episode show notes. There's going to be all sorts of really super fun links, including to Bella's website page where you can see her modeling for Coach. And don't forget the book, Women Who Dare and Overcome Limits, Stories of Inspiration in Difficult Times. There will be a link for that as well, so you can buy this book and read about powerful women the world over who are living lives full of bravery and audacity. I need to thank Araceli for coming on the show and being so open and vulnerable and sharing her story of loss, but then also sharing her story of continuing on and committing to making this world a more beautiful place. And remember, everybody, I'm always looking for ratings and reviews. So when you listen to this podcast, wherever you listen, please do consider taking the time to write a little review or leave a rating. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Araceli. Get off of the couch or get out of bed or walk through your front door. Don't ever give up. There's always going to be something magical waiting for you, something mysterious waiting for you, some good bit of beauty out there just waiting for you to leave your house and go on an adventure to meet it. Those good things are waiting out there for us. So be like Araceli and believe in them. And then get off of the couch and go out to meet your destiny.